Hey, what's up? Hello, everybody. Welcome to In the Room, a wrestling podcast from the Des Moines Register. I'm Cody Goodwin, the Register's wrestling writer, and I am glad you're here. Got a fun episode lined up for you guys today. On Saturday, Iowa State and Northern Iowa are both going to wrestle Oklahoma State. So the Panthers are going to host the Cowboys at 1 p.m. at the West Gym in Cedar Falls, and then the Cyclones will host the Cowboys at 7 p.m. at Hilton Coliseum in Ames. Yes, I know, it's a really weird setup. Oklahoma State is going to wrestle one duel, then they're going to drive 2 hours, and then they're going to wrestle another. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but that's what's happening. But because the Cowboys are going to be in the state this weekend, I brought on Seth Duckworth from Pistols Firing to discuss the Cowboys. Seth is a valuable resource when it comes to anything Oklahoma State wrestling. He's also started a new gig with a new website called Oklahoma Wrestling, where he's also had an eye on the Sooners this season. So Seth and I, we talk about a lot on this episode. We recap the Cyclones and Panthers wins over Oklahoma last weekend. That was at the McLeod Center. And then we also kind of previewed what we're looking for out of Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Northern Iowa this coming weekend since they all wrestle each other. Great conversation. Always fun to catch up with Seth. I really hope you guys enjoy it as well. So let's cue up that intro music and we'll get this show on the road. Happy Friday, everybody, and thank you again for tuning in. On the podcast to discuss Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, and in the spirit of the schedule this coming weekend, I figured we could start with talking about Oklahoma, and then I'll get up and drive 2 hours, and then we can discuss Oklahoma State. Does that sound like a plan?
Yeah, we could do that. It
works. How and why did they agree to a schedule like that? I know we're going to talk about Oklahoma here, but Oklahoma State, they're going to start in Cedar Falls on Sunday. And then they're going to end up in, or no, I guess this is Saturday. They'll start in Cedar Falls and then they'll end up in Ames wrestling two duels. That's weird, right?
Yeah. I don't really understand the reasoning behind that. They actually had it on their schedule earlier this month. They were going to go to Northern Colorado and they ended up going to Air Force because Northern Colorado had some COVID issues. And then they just did the one duel at Air Force, but they were going to wrestle both teams there in Northern Colorado. They went to Little Rock a couple weeks ago and just wrestled there. So I don't understand why it's different in Iowa. The only thing I can think, I don't even honestly know, but are they allowing fans at either of these?
They are allowing, I know Hilton in Ames, where Iowa State's at, they have been allowing maybe 1,000, a couple thousand, depending on, how many tickets get bought up. And then you and I, they were at the McLeod Center this past Sunday when they were hosting both Iowa State and Oklahoma, and there was maybe a few hundred. It's not the biggest venue, but they're trying to move out of the West Gym because the West Gym, I think, only it peaks at just under 3,000. So they want to –
You know you can't get people in the West Gym because that would break every COVID thing or whatever. But the only thing in my back of my mind, Oklahoma State's a pretty big brand name, and both schools, you're in the Big 12. Oklahoma State's working with and trying to do what they can to help everybody out. My thought process is, hey, $1,000 times $10 a ticket, $10,000, and how these universities are so tight in their athletic departments right now. That's actually a significant amount of money. So I don't know. That's the only thing in the back of my mind. Maybe they're trying to make a couple $1,000. I don't know. It's weird. It's definitely strange because with everybody else, they've done it this year. They've had, they drive to one location, another nearby school comes to there, and they all three wrestle or whatever. But I don't know. It's weird. It is what it is.
It's super weird because especially with you and I in Iowa State, because I know that earlier this year, you and I made the trip to Hilton and they wrestled Mizzou, but they didn't wrestle Iowa State. And then this past weekend, obviously with Oklahoma, Iowa State made the drive to Cedar Falls and they did not wrestle you and I again. And so then I know that now that there's another, I think, on the schedule because they were able to reschedule Arizona State. So they're going to come in next month along with Central Michigan. And then you and I is going to make the trip back to Ames where Iowa State and you and I will finally wrestle, but then they'll also get matches against Arizona State and Central Michigan. So it's just... It's weird, right? Like this whole year is just so bizarre.
Yeah, right along those lines, Oklahoma State had was it Chattanooga and Southern Illinois in Stillwater a couple weeks ago. And I'm trying to remember the logistics of it. I may be saying this a little bit wrong, but basically Little Rock came to Stillwater and wrestled them, didn't wrestle Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State went to Little Rock a couple weeks later and wrestled Little Rock. And so, like, Little Rock was in Stillwater, you know, next, like, wrestling on the mat right next to them. They didn't wrestle that weekend. And then they drove up to Little Rock and they wrestled them there. And that's another one that again, in the back of my mind, I don't know for sure, but the financial side of it, Little Rock's this brand new program. Hey, if you have Oklahoma, I know they had like a subscription to pay to actually watch the match. So Little Rock probably made a little bit of money on that. And you know, I know for sure that John is very willing to work with schools when they need, you know, and it's reality, just in sports, these schools need money to get to justify their program or whatever. So that's the only thing in the back of my mind is he was trying to like, maybe trying to support something like that. But yeah, it's wild how they kind of, they just do that stuff, but
100%. Well, I know that the one thing that makes sense, maybe along those same lines, is that you and I doesn't have a ton of home dates this year. And so against Oklahoma State, a team that they did beat last year, probably wanted to reserve that one for Cedar Falls. Because I know actually because of the reschedule with Arizona State and Iowa State, them going to Ames helps. I mean, you and I loses another home date there. So that may have been part of it. It's just kind of weird that Oklahoma State's going to wrestle – weigh in and wrestle, right, and then drive 2 hours and then wrestle again. Yeah, it's just, it makes for a funny weekend schedule.
Yeah. And for the guys that are actually competing, like the OSU kids, you know, they're pretty high level athletes. I don't think they let stuff like that get to them too much. And Coach Smith, I wish I had the audio on it that I could play for you right now, but it was hilarious because he was asked in their last, if you ever get to know Coach Smith or interview him or whatever the case may be, his some of the stuff he brings up is always a good interview. But somebody asked him basically like, hey, you got your guys going into which was originally going to be Northern Colorado. And he's just talking about the travel and like say, Northern Colorado had some COVID issues. So that got canceled. But basically when they bring that up, he goes into this these kids are pampered type of story thing where back in my day we rode in these like 10 passenger vans and there was 30 of us in the van and we were all stuffed in there. And I don't know, he was like, it's nothing, like these guys, we put them in a, I don't know, they really do put them in like a high-end tour bus type thing where they can all lay down and it's a fancy thing that they travel in. But it was just kind of hilarious to listen to them talk about it, because when they brought up, oh man, yeah, it's a headache to move from A to B and do all this different stuff, he just kind of laughed it off and was like, oh yeah, you should see the stuff I rode around in. And he had all these wild stories about, I don't know, riding around and going to tournaments and whatever. And it was kind of hilarious to hear his take on the travel situations that some of these teams are facing right now. So
that's amazing. That is amazing. Before we get to the Cowboys, they're coming here this weekend, right? They're going to wrestle you and I in Iowa State. That's well established. But the Cyclones and the Panthers did get done wrestling in Oklahoma, which is a team you now cover for Oklahoma Wrestling. O Russell. I think it's like O_Russell on Twitter. Is that correct?
Yeah. O_Russell on Twitter. OWrestle.com on you know, if you're looking up the website. So
righteous. Okay. So that's like Oklahoma's version of IA Russell up here.
Yeah, exactly. They've got a rock from page just like IA Russell has now. And it's kind of a split between the subscription side and then, you know, the free stuff. And we do a little bit of both. And about a month and a half ago, I met up with the guy that started the site. He actually was originally with Missouri, or not originally with, he still owns it. He started MissouriWrestle.com and basically wanted to kind of like Hager's done with IA Wrestle and with Nebraska and all the, I can't even remember which other ones he owns, but kind of basically the same concept. And he moved into Oklahoma and, you know, I was like one of the first ones that kind of got in contact or he contacted or whatever, and it bloomed into a thing. And so, yeah, I've been doing a little covering OU. It's been kind of fun. It's been a different, you know, I know I got a lot of my Oklahoma State readers that are like, you know, think I'm a I don't know, turn it on them or something, but no, it's different. And it's, you know, OU's got a ton of tradition. They've got good wrestlers. It's been fun to kind of do something a little bit new there. So.
Absolutely. Well, what was, with Oklahoma coming up, they're probably not going to want to come back after the results from last weekend.
Yeah.
Iowa State beat them first 18-16, pretty competitive duel, pretty fun. And then Northern Iowa really took it to them, scored a handful of bonus points and won the second duel 23-13. From your perspective, watching the duel, following the duel, what was kind of the reaction from Oklahoma land? What was, I mean, what did you guys kind of, what did you see, I guess, from both of those matchups?
The Iowa State duel was exciting. That was a fun one to watch. Like, I don't care, you know, I know Iowa State had some guys out and everything, but you're looking, and the thing I sort of enjoy about this new dive into OU wrestling or whatever is they are a tradition-rich program, and you kind of, I think what Iowa State fans, you know, it's almost, they're very similar programs, right? You have down the road, a couple hours away, you have the state's main flagship wrestling school in Oklahoma State, in Oklahoma, in Iowa. And then the other schools, you know, have, like say, these great traditions, pretty good programs, all this different stuff. But they're kind of sort of dwarfed by the other program down the street and within the state. And I don't say that as any disrespect towards either of those programs. It just kind of, you know, that's what it is. But they are, it's still like, you look at it, it's a classic matchup. Two teams got a bunch of team titles, a bunch of gold medals, a bunch of, like, when you look historically, they're both all this thing. And a couple of years ago, they hired Roselli here at OU. And of course they hired, I don't know why I can't think of his name, but anyway, good coach, all this other stuff. And he's rebuilt Iowa State a little bit quicker, and I think than Roselli has at OU. And I think that's sort of a frustration with a lot of OU fans, is when they hired Roselli, they expected sort of the same transition to happen that's happened at Iowa State. Okay, we got all this tradition, we got a decent fan base, we have all this other stuff, them to be built right back up. And OU's getting closer. I think they're a little, I mean, that duel doesn't happen last year, in my opinion, with where OU was. So, but it came down to heavyweight, you know, that I was impressed by Heintzelman scrambling. Like, I hate to put thing. I know the Heintzelman family and he's an Oklahoma kid and stuff, but I do think they got a heavyweight going forward, and for him to kind of hang with Grimmel, I thought was pretty impressive, because when just that, at that weight class, you got a lot of guys that, you know, it takes a couple of years to be a good heavyweight because you're smaller, you're just physically not there. And Heisman was outsized, out everything, and still took it into double overtime and was right there with him. So I thought that a lot of it had like the classic matchup again, the two traditional rich programs, came down to heavyweight. Heisman's a young kid versus a senior, and gave him a heck of a match, but they did drop it. The general tone, I think, and then you and I duel for OU just wasn't it wasn't like I said, I didn't feel too bad. I think if you're looking from a Oklahoma fan standpoint, looking at the Iowa State duel, you feel pretty good about their performance. It wasn't, I mean, there were matches they lost that you kind of, Demas got losing to Parker, you're kind of like, okay, that was, but that's truly a toss up. They're both, you know, high level guys. It's kind of the same thing with Mantinona and Broderson, I think.
Yeah, Julian Broderson.
Yeah. So you lose both of those, which I think that leaves a little bit of a bad taste, but those are like good wrestlers, you know. It's not like, oh, you just laid an egg. It's just like, okay, those guys are pretty good. But then they go into UNI and they kind of just get handled by a team that really, on paper, I think most people would have said a month ago that OU would have beat. And I don't know, the general fan base feel and that I'm hearing and the talk and everything else is, and I see it too. I try to kind of give, I don't know, I try to be careful, because I know everybody thinks, hey, you're this OSU guy that's covered OSU for all these years and you're not calling it right. you see guys like Heinzelman, who's brand new to the program, basically. He's a freshman who's wrestling really well, and he looks good. You see Mitch Moore, who's a transfer from Virginia Tech. He looks good so far. You see a couple other actually, Woodley, probably, of the guys that have been in the program for a while, looks as good as anybody at 197. I've been really impressed with Woodley all year. He had one loss to the Arizona State kid, but again, that was a tough matchup. He just kind of lost. But you, when you see Demas lose, when you see Mantinona lose, you see some of those other guys lose, I think a lot of people are nervous about, like, 2-3 years ago, you saw them come into the program and everybody was like, okay, this is national high level All-American, you know, Big 12 champ type caliber talent, and they're, you know, they lost, so, you know, to other Big 12 teams. So I think that's like, that leaves an awkward taste, because fans are wondering what the trajectory of the OU program is moving forward, because they got guys that are around that have been around for a while that are losing. But you also kind of feel good because your brand new guys are looking pretty good. So I don't know. So it's interesting to kind of get their takes and talk to people and different stuff like that. But yeah, I was kind of surprised by the Northern Iowa results. I mean, I know it's they're a good program. Like they always come and they're scrap and they fight and everything else, but OU has, you know, I don't know, maybe 7-8 ranked guys. And I think maybe Northern Iowa came in with 2 or 3 or something like that. And then for OU to walk out with a loss, you know, wasn't what a lot of people expected, but it is what it is. So.
Yeah, no, I think the one takeaway I think from the Iowa State-Oklahoma duel that I saw was just Iowa State won all these close matches, right? And that was, you know, that plagued them against Missouri the week before, because they went like 0-3 in one-point matches and they lost a couple others and they gave up a couple of bonus points here and there. And, you know, Mizzou's a pretty good team this year. Against Oklahoma, you know, a third period takedown at 125 decided that one. Ian Parker scored in the third and rode out the final 30 seconds to beat Dom Demas. David Carr, Justin Thomas, that's a top 10 matchup, but I think David Carr maybe showed that he's separated himself a little bit there. You mentioned Mitch Moore. He got the pin over a backup, which is kind of what I thought would happen. Jake Woodley looked, I'm with you, really, really good. I would consider Jake Woodley one of those guys at 197 who could probably win it this year, just because the weight's so wide open and he's got, you know, I really like his freestyle credentials, which is why I think like maybe he could be one of those guys.
U23 champ a couple of months ago. He's I've been impressed by him. He did kind of get, lost that match against Arizona State, but he's probably, when you're looking at guys that aren't new to the program, like I say, I've been impressed by Woodley for sure.
Yeah, no, he's been real talented. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, Broderson beating Mantinona, you know, 4-3, Gremmel winning the heavyweight match over Heinzelman 5-4. I mean, just all these 1-point matches. That's how Iowa State did this, because any one of those matches gets flipped, OU wins the duel, right? Yeah. So real competitive. I thought that was a lot of fun. The UNI Oklahoma duel. It's really weird because like we haven't. You know, UNI's, I mean, what, they're 4-1, 3-1 now, and all three of their wins are over, you know, North Dakota State, South Dakota State, now Oklahoma. Their one loss was to Missouri, you know, because they did that thing where they were in the same building with Iowa State and Ben Russell. And they, you know, they've looked good, and I figured Oklahoma would probably be their first, like, real true test. Like, nothing against South Dakota State, North Dakota State, but, you know, they've got Dom Demas, they've got Moore, they've got Woodley, they've got Mantinona. You know, and I mean, the duel flipped, you know, at 174 when Lance Runyon, who, you know, he's an Iowa born kid. He was an Iowa State champ. And, you know, he pinned Mantinona. That was a huge surprise to everybody in the building. Not surprised so much that he was able to get to his cradle, but just against a guy like Mantinona, I figured, you know, that was going to be one of those full matches, 7 minutes. Where does he really stack up here? You know, and then he pins him in 2 minutes and it's like, whoa, okay. And then right after that, they follow with Parker Kekeisen, who is from Wisconsin. He wrestled at Ashgrin Academy. He was just really highly touted coming out. He was in the junior world team trials finals against Aaron Brooks a few years back, but he hadn't wrestled the first 3 duels. And so they insert him into the lineup and he does exactly what we thought he would do if he would ever get in the lineup. And he beats Darian Roberts 21-8, you know, 9 takedown performance. That flipped the duel right there. Like that's, you know, cause at that point it was 10-10 after the first 6 matches. And that was, I mean, it was surprising for us to kind of see it because, you know, I don't know. Kekeisen hadn't been in the lineup. Runyon has been good, but hasn't been dangerous like that. And then Carter Isley was able to close it down, and they got a big win, obviously, at 133. I don't think you can, Kyle Biscoglia over Anthony Madrigal. We probably shouldn't forget about that one, but yeah, I mean, I 33 and then especially 74, those were kind of surprise wins for the Panthers. I feel like, maybe not surprised to Doug Schwab, but for those of us who kind of follow the team, it was like, whoa, okay, these guys, cause Doug Schwab said at the beginning of the year that we might surprise some people, and okay, you beat South Dakota State, North Dakota State, but then when you beat Oklahoma, it's like, okay, you might have something like okay, I'm on board a little bit, Doug.
No. I think there's a level of, maybe frustration, I guess is the right word, for Oklahoma fans that have seen, that were like, you didn't really on paper expect Northern Iowa. Like, I expect that to be the tight duel. I expected that to be the one that maybe comes down to heavyweight that we saw with Iowa State and everything like that. But they kind of, I don't know. I don't think you can discount the job that the coaches and the staff at Northern Iowa have done. Like, they've really built like a program that year in, year out, outperforms what you're going to see. I mean, you can see that from covering wrestling down here and just the Big 12 tournament. Every year they come in and they got two or three guys that wrestle way above their seed, where they got guys that, different things that you see. But I guess my thought process of that is like, you usually see that develop as the year goes and they get time with them, but these guys are coming out and doing it in the first couple of weeks of the season, which is kind of impressive. But yeah, I think Northern Iowa definitely has more than a lot of people expected nationally. And I mean, me being, a guy that covers teams in the Big 12, what I've seen from them so far, they're definitely a little bit better than a lot of people thought, than I thought they were going to be, for sure.
I don't know. Like, it was, the wins at 33 and 74 were, I hate to call them surprising, but, they were kind of like, okay, like that's what he means when he says, hey, we're going to surprise some people this year. Cause I really like watching Kyle Biscoglia wrestle. Did not think he was going to beat Anthony Madrigal. I figured Lance Runyon could wrestle really tough with Mantinona. Didn't think he'd pin him. That was kind of the first like, oh, okay. Like, Northern Iowa really is going to, like, they're starting, like, their floor is a little bit higher than maybe we thought. Maybe that was my takeaway from that duel. This coming weekend's duels, where your expertise can shine a little bit more with Oklahoma State coming to the state of Iowa. What did you learn about, watching those two duels, about Iowa State and UNI, and how they might stack up against Oklahoma State? Maybe a really intriguing Oklahoma State team from what I've been able to gather the last few weeks.
Yeah, I think 174 is a way to watch. Well, the intriguing thing about Oklahoma State and this program right now is their youth. They have three true freshmen starting. All of them are undefeated, which they've wrestled they've not wrestled the highest ranked guys. Like, it's been every match you would argue that they've been kind of favored in, these freshmen as they've come in. But that's the storyline of the next, I don't know, 4 or 5 years probably, really, for Oklahoma State, is they previously hadn't really recruited that well. They kind of went through a stretch where it wasn't just these big blue chip names. It wasn't, all this, the things that when you look at teams that win national titles, and Oklahoma State is a program that people expect to win national titles. For a couple of years, they didn't recruit all that well on that level. You know what I mean? Like, they'd get like the one-offs, they'd get like Dayton Fix and people like that. They're big names, but it was okay. Dayton lives down the road and his dad wrestled for OSU, so obviously he's probably going to OSU. This time they went out and they got like 15 big kids. They had the best class in the country by far for 2020. They just signed a really good one for 2021. So everybody's really intrigued what these guys are going to do for the next couple of years. So there's, and the weights they wrestle at are 125, 174, and 197. It's Trevor Mester Giovanni, Dustin Plott at 174, and AJ Ferrari at 197. So the blockbuster matchups, I guess, that every Oklahoma State fans want to see is how does Trevor Mester Giovanni strap up against Teske and handle that. Like, we all know Teske's, you know, originally Penn State guy. He made his way over there. He's you know, there's a reason he was recruited to Penn State. He's a big time talent. He's obviously proved it so far. He's wrestled really well. So you really want to see that matchup. 174, I want to see both of them. But the Broderson versus Plott is probably Plott's first real pretty highly ranked test, you know. And I mean, Plott's, like I say, he's beaten everybody he's beat so far, and he's kind of blown most people out. But it's not the highest ranked, not the biggest name guy. So you want to see that one. And then at 197, I think Ferrari, you know, Ferrari should, in my opinion, probably beat Gordon. But, you know, I think that's a tougher test. I think he's a tougher test than we've seen for him so far. And then the big one and the intriguing one, I guess, on paper, or the everybody's talking about is Bastida. And I think that's interesting with Ferrari, because Ferrari, what he's sort of done so far is beat these guys with his feet. He doesn't like get on top and hammer people and turn them and pin them and stuff like that. He just picks up about 15 takedowns in a 6-7 minute match, and tech falls guys with that. And I mean, it's great. Like, all his points so far he's given up or escapes, because he really just, it's either he feeds the back dudes or he takes them down and lets them up, rides for a little bit, but he doesn't really do much on top, which I think with Bastida, and I know he hasn't had that much success in the folk style side so far, but I think that creates a really interesting matchup for Ferrari, because Ferrari doesn't do a lot of mat wrestling. Like, it almost, in some ways, almost becomes like a freestyle match, because both these guys are just going to try to take each other down. They're not going to try to ride. They're not going to do, or at least what we've seen so far. Maybe Ferrari can ride like crazy, but so far what he hasn't really needed to, because he's just the style of guys he's wrestled, and he's been able to take him down so easily. So I think that's actually a little more intriguing than maybe a lot of people would think going into this, because you're kind of looking at Bastida's adjustment to freestyle and how that's going, or excuse me, to folk style. But this matchup, to me, almost kind of becomes a folk style matchup, because both of them are just known for doing a lot on their feet and not really doing a lot of mat wrestling and everything. So I'll be interested with that one too. But those three, that's what everybody's watching. 149, obviously, at Iowa State, for OSU. What is his name again?
Jarrett Deegan.
Deegan. There you go. Is he going to be in this?
It does not sound. I mean, it doesn't sound like Iowa State's going to have him available until February. So,
he is going to be for a little while. So, I mean, he didn't wrestle versus OU. So, I think that I wasn't sure. I've heard kind of some rumors and stuff, and I wasn't sure on anything there. But if they had Deegan, you know, that would have been a pretty blockbuster one there. So. But yeah, I think again, 74 is probably the most, I think 25 will be interesting. I think one to watch for Oklahoma State fans. 74 or 97 also has some intrigue, but 74 is, the one I'm really have my eyes on, because we're going to see Plott kind of wrestle a pretty high level guy for the first time. But all those, you know, those young guys and what they're doing. The other one, Parker and Cade Brock. I don't remember how their matches a couple years ago went at 41, but with Parker beating Demas, you kind of think, okay, I mean, that's a big time. You know, I don't know. That'll be one that I'll be really intrigued to watch. And then overall, I think the duel sort of, you know, on paper, you've got Oklahoma State, and you know that Oklahoma State fans know, and I know enough Iowa fans follow too, because with Gilman and Lee and everybody around there, Dayton Fix is suspended right now, so he's not on the roster. So Oklahoma State kind of has a hole at 133, and they've I think half their losses, or probably the majority of their losses in the individual matches this season, have come at 133. So that makes kind of the duel interesting, because if they roll out there And yeah, it's not like, I mean, these big names or anything for Northern Iowa. I know you said Biscagli beat Madrigal, so that was a pretty good win for him and everything. But in most duels, in postseason projections and everything, you know Dayton Fix is going to be there. So you know OSU is probably going to be a heavy favorite at 133 in any, at the Big 12 tournament, at the NCAAs, they're going to score more points than these two other teams there. But there's a pretty legit shot that Iowa State and Northern Iowa win 133 at both of those weights regardless. So if you're talking the duel, find it its way to get interesting. If they get some bonus points there, like I say, OSU should be favored, should have, a lot working for it in this duel. But they've got spots where there's kind of 157. Jalen Harper's filled in. Actually, his first day out wasn't the best, but he's been filling in for Wyatt Sheets, and Sheets has been hurt. His first couple matches out weren't quite as good, but he's kind of turned it on those last couple weeks. So you got some guys out, you got some things like that going on that I think could make the duels a little more competitive than maybe on paper a lot of people would see going into it, where OSU would be a heavy favorite. And then you kind of got the unknowns, like I say, with the young guys and finally wrestling some a little bit stiffer competition, and it'll be fun to follow. And I think the other thing in it is, both teams have good heavyweights, and everybody knows that the both programs, I mean, those are top 10 guys. Those are All-American projected type caliber guys with Isley and Grimmel. But Austin Harris was kind of this unique converted, 174 that suddenly grew out of high school and became an heavyweight. And it's really a wild story. Like, he was just kind of like a tall kid and kind of lanky, and he just kind of just gained weight and got big. And suddenly, his first couple of matches in college, he was a 174, and now he's filling a heavyweight. Well, he suddenly managed to get to 6-0 in the first couple of weeks of the season. And I don't think he's quite there with the Grimmels and the Isleys of the world, but I'm really intrigued to see, what kind of fight he puts up in a match like that. Cause he's quietly won all these matches, and it's like, did a switch turn or, I don't know. He had a lot of freestyle chops. He won the Pan Ams as a junior. He was a Greco World Team member as a junior too. And so he did some things, but he's just so undersized. And so, I don't know, just kind of filling into that. And it's like, maybe some things have clicked and he can really hang with some of these bigger guys now. And so I'm kind of intrigued by that one too. So.
Yeah, no, I think looking at the UNI duel, 25 is going to be really interesting, like you said, because of Mastro and Teske. 33, I thought going into last weekend that one might be a toss-up, but, maybe you give Biscaglia just a slight edge there. I think if UNI really wants to make this duel competitive, I think they really need bonus points there, because, you look at 41, that's a spot UNI has been struggling at with Drew Bennett. If they roll out Kay Brock, Oklahoma State does, you got to imagine that's not just a win, that's probably bonus points. Same thing at 49. Tristan Lara has been scrappy. He's a guy that's going to fight with you all 6 minutes, but I think Bula Wallen probably just head and shoulders above him. That could be another spot where they get bonus. 57's kind of up in the air if it's not Wyatt Cheats that goes out there, just because that's kind of been the one revolving door for you and I. It started with Cade Lara, who's Tristan's younger brother, actually, both Fort Dodge kids. But then they rolled out Derek Holschlag, this past weekend. He wrestled tough against Justin Thomas, but it was, Thomas was very clearly the better wrestler in that matchup. And then, 65 on down, that's where you and I maybe, gets a little bit stronger. Pat Schoenfelter has been very admirable so far at 65, but he's going to run into a buzzsaw against Travis Whitlake. So, there's points for Oklahoma State. 74, like you said, super interesting. 84, if it's Parker Kekeisen. I would really like to see him wrestle Dakota Gear, because, assuming Gear wrestles, that could be a really interesting barometer there for Kekeisen, and just to kind of see where he really stacks up. Then you mentioned 97 and heavyweight. It's going to take a lot of work, I think, for you and I to really, if they want to pull an upset, they're going to have to score bonus where they can, and they're going to have to probably flip one, if not two matches. You know, just kind of looking at the lineup, you know, and
yeah, you know what, I'm pretty sure we did this last year, rolling into the Northern Iowa Iowa State weekend, and looking at that, I had the I don't know, I have to go back and listen, but I'm pretty sure I was like in my brain, Iowa State is going to be a competitive duel. OSU is going to have a fight there. It's going to be like, it's going to take a lot for, you know, either team to win. And Northern Iowa, I in back of my mind, I didn't give much of a chance. And I'm pretty sure if we went back and found that podcast, we did on that. I was probably like, yeah, you and I, no shot, but Iowa State's going to be. And OSU goes up there, kind of beats the brakes off Iowa State, but then gets beat by Northern Iowa. So I don't know. I say that I'm with you, like, on paper, but again, I'm pretty sure I was the guy on here with you a year ago going like, yeah, I don't give Northern Iowa a chance. And then they turned around and won. And the other one spot that you were talking about, kind of making the duel interesting, Cade Brock was out last week.
Was he? Okay.
I don't think it's anything they never gave us an official. It was kind of a unique thing, but you know, with all the Skype coach interviews and stuff like that, John's usually comes pretty clean on injury stuff, but nobody really knew he was going to be out until they actually wrestled Air Force. And they told us he was hurt, but they didn't, it's kind of, they couldn't find a spot to get John set up in the arena after the duel to do the media time. So, so we didn't get to actually ask him to confirm, but I do think Brock will be back. I say that with kind of a caveat that I didn't really get to talk to him last week. So I'm not 110% sure on that, but it does sound like Brock should be back. But if he's not, if you take Brock out of the equation, you still have Dusty Hone, who's pretty, you know, a really solid wrestler. So it's not like, I mean, he was, I don't know, maybe top 10 last year towards the end of last season. So it's not like they're going to be like, you know, sending out there a guy that's just not got any experience or whatever. Dusty Hone was really good last year. So,
yeah.
So we'll see how that plays out, but it kind of could change a little bit of the trajectory of things if you take Cade Brock out, but not by much. Cause again, they got a really good backup with Dusty Hone.
So. Yeah. Well, I think that one might have a bigger impact maybe in the Iowa State duel. Cause yeah, I think, you know, Ian Parker, Cade Brock would be an excellent matchup at 41. No offense to Dusty Hone. I think I would give Parker more of an edge if he was the guy that came out at 41 in that matchup. You know, just kind of looking at that one, you know, just on who I think Iowa State's going to have there. You know, if I know Jarrett Dagan won't be there. I don't believe Sam Colbrey is going to be there at 84 either. So that means you'll probably still see Tate Batani wrestle at 84. Got to give Oklahoma State the edge there. I still think you probably give, you know, bonus points from Whitlake at 65. Real intrigued again to see 25, because that could be a battle of two true freshmen there. You know, 33, that's one where I think Iowa State probably has to win. You know, if they, you know, I, the swing match at 25 too, I think that's one the Cyclones probably have to have, but yeah. You know, if it's not Jarrett Dagan at 49, it's probably either Ben Monroe, who got pinned by Mitch Moore, or Cam Robinson, who, is another true freshman. He's from Pennsylvania. He's been quite impressive. You know, I think Boo would have the upper hand in that, you know, either one, no matter which one he wrestled. You know, I think he probably could score more bonus points against Ben Monroe than he could against Cam. Although I think he could probably still score plenty of bonus points against Cam Robinson. You know, 57, David Carr. If it's not Wyatt Cheats, that's a weight that Iowa State, I think, absolutely has to capitalize on. But you just, I look up and down the lineup again, and I don't want to like shortchange either of these teams, but I see who Oklahoma State rolls out. And I know you're super intrigued about, 97 and 74 and, I feel like Oklahoma State still has such a big enough margin that it's, you know, maybe not a big enough margin, but just like the talent they have up and down the lineup, it's going to be a really tall task. And Iowa State's really going to have to capitalize on just not only the swing matches, but, you know, at 57, if it's not Wyatt Cheats, for example, David Carr needs to score some bonus points if the Cyclones want to win that one. You know, I same thing if at 41, if it's not, you know, Cade Brock, you know, if Ian Parker can wrestle Dusty Hone, that's one where maybe Parker needs to get on his horse a little bit and see if he can get a major decision. I don't know if he can, cause Dusty Hone's really good, but,
Well, I think their path to Iowa State's path to winning the duel would be I think Oklahoma State's going to be favored and probably win 125, but you theoretically, you know, it's not, it's still a true freshman. You know, you never know. They could kind of get something there. 33, they should win. 41, you could win that. 57, obviously, in heavyweight, they're going to be favored. So that's four matches. And then you flip something somewhere else. I don't know whatever, what other weight is. Maybe you win 174. Like I said, it's a true freshman. Again, Plott's probably, I don't know on paper what you say there, you know. Burgesson's good. He's been around for a while, everything else. But on paper, I mean, he beat Mantenona last week. But Dustin Plott was, like, you know, the number two recruit in last year's recruiting class overall. So, yeah, I don't know what you – I don't know how people kind of rate that out when you go, yeah, I think, like, who's going to win when you just look at some of the raw stuff or whatever. And not a lot of – much of a proven track record, I guess, on the actual competitive side in college. But you could probably – you'd see him feasibly winning 133. You could see him winning 141. Obviously, 157, their car is going to be favored no matter what. 174, there's a shot. But then – and then heavyweight, they're going to be favored. But then, like, I don't see any way Boo doesn't pick up bonus points. I have a hard time seeing Whitlake not pick up bonus points. Gear, I think, probably picks up bonus points at 84. You know, and again, I think for me, when I say sort of intriguing and some of those things about the – especially those freshman matches, it's – as much as anything, I feel like this weekend for those guys is like a measuring stick, because you're, as an Oklahoma State fan, I think people are bought into the hype about these freshmen. You know, like I wrote tons of stuff about how good this recruiting class was going to be. And it was, I mean, it's off the, like on paper, you're like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe OSU keeps just like one guy would commit. And then I'd get on Twitter and I'd see another one commit or something. And I'm like, or, you know, I'd get a text or something like, hey, did you hear about this guy? And I'm like, what in the world? Cause like, they were just really rolling in big, big high profile names, in which, you know, naturally it made sense. Like half of them were from Oklahoma, and it was like Oklahoma just had a lot of talent that year and everything else. But anyway, it's built up such a sort of a mystique about these guys. Like, I cover them. So I've got, and I know some of them from like their, you know, I know some parents and they're different than like the Oklahoma kids. I've been around them for a while. It's really like legitimately, you watch it, you read it, you write about it, you do all this other stuff, and you think, man, they're really that good. Like, fans should be excited. They should feel like, I know the characters, and I know some of them, like I say, personally, that I feel good about their, as long as they don't get hurt or whatever, that they're not going to get in trouble. They're not going to do different things that, like, you feel this just really optimistic thing about the future of Oklahoma State wrestling. But still, to this point in the season, they've wrestled Air Force, you know, Little Rock, which is a brand new program. They've wrestled, like, it's not like they're facing these, you know, Big Ten schools or so two of the top Big 12 schools, two top 25 programs like you and I and Iowa State. So it's really, I don't know that all those matches are necessarily going to be like Oklahoma State aren't. Like, I think Ferrari probably beats Bastida, but I'm still really intrigued to see just what he does against a high level guy, you know, in a match, because we haven't really seen it yet. You know, we've seen them wrestle some of these smaller schools and different stuff like that. And they're just, you know, schools that don't, you know, or like I say, Little Rock's brand new program, different stuff like that, where they're kind of building things up. So I think it's more of an intrigue of who are these kids? What are they, you know, exactly? Let's, you know, finally we're kind of seeing them having to go out against big names and prove themselves. And even though, yeah, OSU's going to be probably pretty heavily favored, but again, if you look at some of those injuries and those little pieces that are out, you never know if they don't have, you know, I don't know, like say 33, you're going to favor them. And if they piece together one or two other upsets, don't limit any bonus, basically, like any at all, it could flip the thing towards OSU, or towards Iowa State. But again, like I'm still probably taking OSU here pretty solidly. So
I think I'm with you. I think the Cowboys will come in and take both of these with a 2-hour drive in between for some weird reason. But no, man, you can count me in on the, you know, I people can say what they want about AJ Ferrari, the person, but AJ Ferrari, the wrestler, I think's legit. I'm buying stock on that kid. You know, the Mastro family is another wrestling family. Super excited to watch Travis Whitlake again. That was, I'll tell you what, when the NCAA brackets came out and I saw that Marinelli and Whitlake were on the same side, I got really excited because I was like, that's going to be a really fun Friday night match.
Yeah.
So just super excited to finally see Oklahoma State wrestle again, because we don't get Oklahoma State Iowa this year. I think there's a lot to learn. It sucks, doesn't it? It's
a shame, man. It's a shame. I know, which I know what Iowa has this year, and I know what they did to Oklahoma State last year. So as a, I don't know, as a sort of an Oklahoma State, as an Oklahoma State graduate, and I guess an Oklahoma State fan or whatever, like I kind of like, I know that that was probably not going to go very well for Oklahoma State. If they, you know, even if coming here, we saw how the duel went last year, but I still like you don't, it's hard to beat that atmosphere. It's hard to beat just like what that is every year. I mean, like you take a couple years ago when the, you know, you're not going to get Nick Piccinini's Penn and Spencer Lee and Gallagher Ibe every weekend or whatever. But like, that's that was one of the craziest environments in wrestling I've ever seen. And like every year, even when they go up to Iowa, it's a wild environment. And you know, you're probably going to favor Iowa in that duel, and they're probably going to win pretty comfortably because we just know how good Iowa is this year. But it's tough to not have that match, and it's a lot. Like I'd be interested to go back and look, and I don't remember the last time they didn't wrestle, probably 20, 30 years ago. I don't even,
it's been, I'd have to go back and look too, but I know it's been almost 50 years since Iowa and Iowa State didn't wrestle. And that's, I mean, that's another duel that's missing from the Hawkeye schedule this year too, which it feels weird and incomplete without Iowa, Oklahoma State and the Cy-Hawk duel, but
for sure, man,
you know, we can blame COVID-19 for that.
We knew it was coming, but it's wild to just, but that's not a thing this year. So
it sucks, but we'll have to pay close attention to the two duels this coming weekend. Oklahoma State versus UNI on Saturday, I guess early afternoon. And then, Oklahoma State, Iowa State on Saturday night. Seth, thank you again so much for the time and your expertise. Where can people who are interested, not only in Oklahoma State, but Oklahoma wrestling as well, where can they go find your stuff?
I got two different all over the place now. Right? And I'll pitch this since you give me the time. And I do feel like this is kind of an important thing, I guess. But we talked about it a little bit before we rolled into this. But of course, I've written for years for Pistols Firing, and everybody knows that, or not everybody, but people that know who I am, I guess, know that. And so I've covered Oklahoma State for years. This year, I kind of transitioned to a new site called O-Wrestle. I'm still doing the same thing for Pistols Firing. I'm all over the place, I guess. But I started doing writing for owrestle.com. It's a new Oklahoma wrestling site. It's just broader, everything Oklahoma wrestling, from high school to college to anything that's out there, basically. And there's a lot of great other people that have gotten involved with that. And we're really trying to, I'm really kind of proud to be a part of that, because we're building up a pretty neat little thing. And I've always felt like Oklahoma sort of needed that thing within the state, because, you know, you see it with a lot of other states, and Oklahoma, for whatever reason, hadn't really grabbed that. So I'm glad to have been a part of that and help get that going. And I'm going to continue to be. Third thing, I guess, that I just kind of officially agreed to do, I guess, this last week is, and it's a state that's not known for wrestling. I know all of that. And I think that's the idea, and that's the neat thing that I'm going to be a part of, and I'm happy to be doing, is maybe kind of get some information out there about wrestling and help maybe that big, huge volume of people that's down there get into it, is Texas. The name of the website is going to be TexasWrestlingNews.com, ran by the same guy that started O-Wrestle, and I'm going to be a writer for them, and I'm going to do some stuff covering all things Texas wrestling. So check that one out, and follow them on Twitter, all that good stuff, so we can get that thing going. And we can kind of grow our sport that all you know, all the Iowa and Oklahoma people love, and get it down there to folks in Texas and get them into it too. So.
We love that. Texas wrestling news, O Russell, pistols firing, you're all over the place. Thank you again so much for your time here. I know I appreciated the conversation. I'm sure everybody listening probably appreciated it as well. We're excited to watch the Cowboys this weekend. Probably going to win both of these duels, but it's always fun to get eyes on another really, really good college wrestling team. Seth, thank you again so much.
Thanks, Cody.
Big thanks again to Seth for taking the time to not only talk Oklahoma State wrestling, but also some Oklahoma wrestling as well. Be sure to follow Seth for all your Oklahoma wrestling needs, you guys. He does a fantastic job. Super happy we were able to get him on the podcast. I have a link to his Twitter bio in the show notes, so go click that follow button if you want more updates on anything and everything Oklahoma and Oklahoma State wrestling. A few quick final notes before we sign off today. We actually recorded this podcast on Tuesday earlier this week, and that was before Oklahoma State coach John Smith announced that Cade Brock would not be making the trip this weekend. Here's hoping he's okay moving forward, but that likely means Dusty Hone will fill in at 141 pounds for the Cowboys. Finally, again, both of these duels are on Saturday. Oklahoma State, they're going to wrestle Northern Iowa at 1 p.m. in Cedar Falls, and then they're going to wrestle Iowa State at 7 p.m. in Ames. That'll actually be the third duel of the day for the Cyclones, too. They wrestle Iowa Central at 1 p.m. and then Lindenwood at 3 p.m. Both of those are also at Hilton Coliseum. Full day of wrestling and really a full weekend of wrestling, because then the Hawkeyes host Illinois on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. That's all we've got today, you guys. Thanks a bunch for listening, and be sure to catch In the Room on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your shows. Please, please, please rate and review us. Follow me on Twitter at Cody Goodwin, on Instagram at Cody J. Goodwin. Always love communicating with you guys. Be sure to also subscribe to the Des Moines Register to catch all my stories, mailbags, analysis, videos. You can find links to do all of that, as well as stories from this past week, in the show notes. That's it for this episode. Thanks again for listening, you guys. We will talk again soon.